a party press officer accused of child sex offences given job references by party officials, a senator who resigned after sending inappropriate messages to a minor, one TD who resigns after claiming she was silenced, and another who resigns after claiming he had been subjected to a kangaroo court. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald has addressed the Dáil on a series of scandals surrounding her party in recent weeks. Here she is explaining why she didn't tell the Oireachtas Niall O'Donnell had resigned from the Shannon last year for sending inappropriate texts to a 17-year-old.
The question may be asked and has been asked legitimately as to why Sinn Féin didn't inform the Oireachtas of the circumstances of Niall O'Donnell's resignation as a senator. And that's a fair question, and let me answer it. In the summer of 2021, Niall O'Donnell was on extended leave from his duties in the Shannon due to very serious mental health issues. Following the complaint, we were advised that Niall O'Donnell was again suffering from a mental health crisis and was deemed medically unfit for work by his doctor. Now, Scan Corla, we were very worried that publicly naming him would be dangerous to his health. And that is not to make an excuse for his behaviour, but we had very serious concerns for his mental health and his safety. And I still hold some of those concerns to this very day. Niall O'Donnell publicly resigned on December 21st last. And on that occasion, I wished him and his family well. I acknowledged his work in the past. And above all, I wished him well in dealing with his very, very significant health challenges.
That's Mary Lou MacDonald addressing the Dáil yesterday. Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson, is with us now. Piers Doherty, good morning.
Good morning to you, Gavin.
When did your party's leadership find out that Niall O'Donnell had sent the inappropriate messages?
We found out after the complaint was made. A number of officers of the party were informed. That would have been on the 13th of September when the party would have referred this issue to the PSNI and to the social services, as is right. We were informed of that decision, that a complaint had been made and that the procedures of the party had kicked in, that the individual, a 17-year-old, wanted this to stop. However, obviously, that wasn't enough for Sinn Féin. This was important that it was referred to the PSNI once it was determined that the individual was under the age of 18 and the social services, and that's what happened at that stage.
And who in the party suspended him?
The party would have been suspended immediately through the party chair. It would have been the process is in relation to anything in terms of a minor would have resulted in the suspension of the party member. So the party would have suspended him immediately as a result of the complaint.
Why didn't you tell us all in December last year that, as well as resigning from the Shannon, that he was also suspended from the party in September and had resigned from the party in October?
Well, as Mary Lou outlined in her very detailed statement in the Dáil yesterday, the party processes kicked in immediately. We wanted this investigated by the PSNI and the social services. That obviously could have resulted in a criminal case. However, it was responded back to us that there was no further investigation. There was no finding of illegality or criminality. However, despite that, it was very clear to us that what Niall O'Donnell had done was inappropriate. We made that clear to himself. He also made it clear to us that he was suffering serious mental health issues at that time. We were conscious of Niall's mental health state because in 2021, and many members of the Oireachtas would know this, Niall was on extended leave from his duties in the Oireachtas because he was suffering a mental health crisis, and a determination was made at that time, given that there was no finding of illegality or criminality, that it would not be in Niall's mental health it benefit to actually name him at that time. And that was the decision that was made. It was a decision around his personal health and his safety and very, very real concerns at that time by those that met him.
Do you accept that Sinn Féin misled the Oireachtas and the public about the reason for his resigning from the Shannon?
I think that, you know, people will judge ourselves. I heard Pádraig McLaughlin, who's our chief whip, who was at that meeting, speaking to RTÉ yesterday, who was at that meeting, who described to the public that he was sitting in front of a person who was in severe crisis. And that is not in any way to absolve Niall O'Donnell from what he did.
Yes, but the Oireachtas was told he was resigning from the Shannon for ill health. That wasn't the full reason that he was resigning from the Oireachtas.
No, and that's it. First of all, let's be clear, we can't force any member or any non-member of the party. Niall would have been not a member of the party at that stage because he had resigned, and he told us he was resigning from...
Yes, but his resignation announcement was issued through a Sinn Féin press release, even though he wasn't a member of Sinn Féin anymore.
But we can't force anybody to resign from the Dáil or the Shannon, as we see in terms of Brian Stanley's case, that is the case.
No, but you can be honest about why he's resigning from the Shannon.
Well, as I outlined to you and as Mary Lou outlined in the floor of the Dáil yesterday, this was a decision that was taken in the context of somebody who was going through a profound mental health crisis.
Yes, you've said that, and Mary Lou has said that, but do you accept that that decision had the result of misleading the Oireachtas and the public?
I accept that the full information was not provided, but I also accept that people now know why that full information was not provided. It is important to state that Niall Atheneala faced all of the rigors of the party in relation to he lost his job, he lost his position within the party, and he was referred for a criminal investigation to the PSNI and social services. So Sinn Féin carried out this in relation to the processes in terms of child protection to the letter, and indeed we were commended by the PSNI in relation to the fact that the victim in this stated that they were content with how Sinn Féin handled this issue.
In December last year, when Mary Lou MacDonald issued that statement, she never revealed that he had resigned from the party as well as from the Shannon. And yet at the same time, she paid him what Holly Cairns, who we'll hear from later, had called a glowing reference. Was it correct to give him a glowing public reference when he had left the Shannon and the party under such a cloud? What's the difference between the reference that your party leader gave to Niall O'Donnell, obscuring the reason he was leaving, and the references given by your party's press officers for Michael McMonaghan, which also obscured why he'd left the party, and which Mary Lou MacDonald said was unforgivable and a sackable offence?
Gavin, there is absolutely no similarity whatsoever, and let's be clear, what the two former press officers did was inexcusable, was unforgiving. This was somebody who was being investigated for child sex abuse, and to give a reference without any permission of the party, and the party would never have given them permission. It's absolutely impossible to understand why such people would have done that. Is unforgivable. This, in terms of Niall O'Donnell, we need to remember that there were no findings of criminality, no findings of illegality.
Yes, but in both cases, Piers Doherty, the references obscured the reason why these men had left your party.
I think you've tried to draw a...
Hello, Piers Doherty. I'm afraid that phone line is gone again. It's 26 minutes past 7. We'll take a break.
Tesco Club Card gives you the power to more. Feed the whole family with Tesco Irish Beef Housekeeper's Cut, 1.3 kg, now half price. And if you've any room left, Pringles Selected Range 165 gram are half price too. Plus Doritos Cool Original 140 gram and Coke Zero and Diet Coke 2 litre, any three for €5. Get more from your shop with your Tesco Club Card or app. Shop in store or online. Tesco, every little helps. Subject to availability, prices vary in express stores. Deposit may apply. See tesco.ie.
This is an emergency appeal for UNICEF. Children in Lebanon and Gaza are under attack. They urgently need clean water, medical supplies and blankets. UNICEF is on the ground providing life-saving humanitarian aid, but we need your help. Please support our work at unicef.ie. Thank you.
RTE Radio 1.
Cameron McIntosh and Disney present Mary Poppins. Only Mary Poppins can bring you the most spectacular, spit-spot, magical, practically perfect, gravity-defying, supercalifragilistic musical. And she's flying to Bord Gáis Energy Theatre this Christmas from the 11th of December for 5 weeks only. Tickets available now. BordGáisEnergyTheatre.ie.
Entertainment updates on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back, it's 7:28. Abducted, murdered and secretly buried by the IRA. That's what happened. Robert Nirach, a captain in the Grenadier Guards in May 1977. Today, the search for his remains, which started in County Louth 7 weeks ago, has ended unsuccessfully. John Hill, lead investigator of the Independent Commission for the Location of Victims' Remains, spoke to me earlier. First, he explained what happened. Robert Nairac.
Well, Robert Nairac was taken from a pub, forcibly taken from a pub, the Three Steps Inn in Drumontree, South Armagh. Whilst he was working as a military officer, an army officer in plain clothes, he was taken from there forcibly. We know he was taken to an area known as Ravensdale, which is just in the Republic in Ireland, and that's where he was murdered. What happened after that has been quite a mystery around what happened to his body. Well, a number of people were arrested and convicted in relation to offences involving his kidnapping and murder.
The search site was a one-acre site at Fahart in County Louth that began 7 weeks ago. Back then, you told this programme you had credible information that provided the impetus for the search of the site. How are you looking at that information now?
Well, the information is still the same. It's still credible. It's come from reliable means, but clearly it isn't as accurate as we would like it to be. Now, it was always more hope than expectation because there was never an X marks the spot, and I did try to stress that when we started. This is more based upon a number of pieces of information put together which suggests this is the area where he was buried. Now, it's a vast farmland area around there, a number of fields, all of which look very similar, all of which could be potentially where it was. These were the most likely area, and that's why we conducted our search. Of course, having done that, we've eliminated quite a large area as well.
Do you feel that it was the right area to search?
Yes, I do. It wasn't exactly the right spot because we'd have found him, but I still believe it's the right area. It's caused a number of difficulties in that we weren't able at that stage to release detail of exactly where we were searching. Now, it could be that there are people who don't know exactly where the search was, and they could be people who know where he was buried.
The owners of the site didn't want to have the site identified. Why was that?
Mostly it was because of what they expected, and I must agree, probably would have happened, would have been the press intrusion within their domestic property. So because of that, they asked that we didn't reveal exactly where it was, and of course we honoured that.
But you feel it would have helped if you could have identified the site?
Well, I wouldn't say it would. I'd say it might. I don't know that for fact, but there could be somebody who thinks we know exactly the right spot where he is. They might know where it is, but they don't know where we are. So because of that, they haven't come forward with that vital piece of information that could tell us exactly where we could be. And that's something that we're going to have to look at going forward. We will reassess and reevaluate all of the information that we have, and that will certainly be one of the considerations.
The search was a complicated one. Can you describe the site? Because it was also a 14th century battle site.
Well, that's right. Because of that, we had to take special precautions. We had to have licensed archaeologists authorised by the National Monuments Ireland, to monitor whilst the search was being undertaken in case we came across any archaeology. We didn't, as it turned out, but that did prolong slightly and alter some of our strategies, but they weren't a major setback.
Is this the end of the search for the remains of Robert Nairac at this site?
No, not at all. We will reevaluate, as I said, reassess the information. We will reach out for more information and encourage anyone who has information to come forward to us, knowing that we've got to this stage. The search for Robert Nairac will continue. It just won't physically search at this moment.
So you're calling for people to continue to come forward with information. What kind of information are you looking for?
Ideally, it would be one of those people who were involved in his burial. That has never been the case. We haven't spoken to anyone who is actually involved in his burial, and that is going to be, of course, the prime importance. So most of the information we have had has come through second or third hand, together with other pieces of information that have been put together. So ideally, that would what it would be, and to encourage those people to come forward and knowledge that it's completely confidential, any information that comes to the Commission. There's never been any prosecution. No one has ever breached the confidentiality of the Commission, and encourage them to come forward on that basis.
Of the 17 disappeared, 13 remains have been recovered so far.
That's right.
The other three outstanding disappeared cases are Joe Linsky, Columba McVeigh and Seamus Maguire. Have you any immediate plans now to carry out searches for those men?
I don't think it'd be right at this stage to go into how we are with other cases, but certainly in this one, we've come to the end of this search. All of the cases continue to be on our radar, as it were. They're all being investigated at the same time. And as soon as we get to a position where we have some work that we can undertake to recover the remains, then so we will do so.
John Hill, lead investigator of the Independent Commission for the Location of Victims' Remains, talking to us earlier. It's now 7:34 and slightly later than usual because of technical difficulties earlier. We go to Brian Jennings and he's here with the news headlines.
Thank you, Cian. The former Sinn Féin TD, Brian Stanley, has accused the party leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, of abusing Doyle privilege in remarks she made about him yesterday afternoon. Deputy MacDonald said that a complaint made against Deputy Stanley had left the complainant traumatised and distressed. Deputy Stanley rejected the contents of the complaint. Deputy Stanley resigned from Sinn Féin last weekend. Speaking on this programme, Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson Pierce Doherty said he accepted that the party did not give full information to the Dáil in relation to the resignation of former Senator Niall O'Donoghue. The former senator stepped down after it emerged he sent inappropriate messages to a 17-year-old child.
I accept that the full information was not provided, but I also accept that people now know why that full information was not provided. It is important to state that Niall O'Donoghue faced all of the rigours of the party in relation to he lost his job, he lost his position within the party, and he was referred for a criminal investigation to the PSNI and social services.
An Israeli official in Washington has said his government is assessing a letter from the US government urging it to tackle the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. The letter, which was endorsed by the US Secretary of State Antony Blinken, said military aid could be cut if the issue was not addressed within 30 days. The United Nations World Food Programme has described conditions being endured by Palestinians in North Gaza as dire. A search in County Louth for Robert Nairac, a British soldier murdered and secretly buried by the IRA almost 50 years ago, has ended without success. Experts have been searching a site north of Dundalk since the end of August. Now, the weather forecast, it'll be cloudy this morning. Rain in the east and northeast will gradually clear. There'll be scattered showers elsewhere. Another spell of showery rain will extend from the southwest this morning and afternoon. There may be downpours. Very high spring tides may cause coastal flooding. Highest temperatures will range from 14 to 18 degrees.
Brian, thank you. 7:36, Gail Conway is here with the business news.
Thanks, Gavin. More than 2.4% of job postings in Ireland now state that applicants do not need to be able to speak English, according to job hiring platform Indeed. The research found the majority of jobs with flexible language requirements are in lower paid and high demand areas, including hospitality, cleaning and construction. It comes as employers are increasingly seeking to hire migrant workers amid labour shortages. Out of the 2.7 million workers here, one in five are non-Irish citizens. German supermarket chain Lidl is to invest €200 million in a new regional distribution centre in Cork to improve its logistical infrastructure in the south and southeast region as it plans to expand. It's hoped if planning permission is granted, the new distribution centre at Lidl Island will be opened by 2030. French and Italian police say they have broken up an international fraud ring that was passing poor quality bottles of wine off as vintages. French prosecutors alleged the gang made €2 million by selling wine with fake labels. Buyers thought they were purchasing rare bottles valued at up to €15,000 each on the international market. Finally, for now, the currencies where €1 buys you $1 and 8.9 cents and 83.3 pence sterling.
RTE Radio 1 Traffic and Travel with Hyundai. The exciting new lineup for 251 is here. See it at Hyundai.ie.
With the latest traffic and travel news, I'm Sinead Nuluhon. There has been a collision in Tipperary on the M8 northbound at Junction 9, Cashel South. In Kildare, we have reports of an incident in Strafan outside the golf course. There's also a breakdown in Kildare on the M7 eastbound. It's between Junction 9A Salins and Junction 9 Naas North. There are two breakdowns in Dublin this morning, one on the M50 northbound at the Junction 5 Finglas Slip to the N2 outbound, and one on the M50 M50 southbound at the M1 interchange. Finally, lights remain out of action on both sides of Watlin Street Bridge, and signals at the Ellis Quay junction with Blackhall Place are also out. That's the latest traffic and travel news.
Sport on RTE Radio 1.
It's 7:38. Pádraic Lodge is here now with sport. Soccer first, disappointment for Ireland last night.
Certainly was, Cian. They've missed out on qualification, the Republic of Ireland under-21s, for next year's European Championships. A 1-1 draw away to Italy, coupled with Norway's win over Turkey, so Ireland finished third in the group. So they missed out on direct qualification and also missed out on a playoff spot. Over the campaign, they conceded stoppage time equalisers to both the Italians and the Norwegians in Cork, and they also slipped up against Latvia at Tala Stadium. Team captain Andy Moran scored the levelling goal last night, but they couldn't find the winning goal they needed to qualify, and his disappointment was clear when he spoke to Darren Frahill.
I think we started the game unreal. They couldn't get out. We had so many shots. We had a few cleared off the line. And then second half, yeah, they had a spell at the end of the first half, and then second half we came out firing. I think you can see the quality we've got playing against a team of a team like Italy, all senior, a few senior internationals in there. Like, it's frightening how good we were. It's just gutting that we couldn't get the win.
A couple of chances. You got the goal. Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, it was just unreal from Ailemo, to be fair. He took it down the line, and I just had to get in the box. And then, yeah, tough finish on the lefty, to be fair. But, I mean, it's nothing like...
Well, I wouldn't say that. You got that goal and you had a couple of chances after that, and maybe just a little bit of luck has availed you. Maybe that's the story of this campaign, isn't it?
I know, yeah. No, we just needed to go in anyway. But, no, it just wasn't that night. Lads are gutted out there. Like, you can see how much it means to us. So, yeah, it's a tough one to take. Yeah.
Andy, what have you learned over this entire campaign? It's been an absolute roller coaster, but you must take so many positives from it, from both you personally, but also a team and a squad.
Yeah, 100%. No, to captain these boys is such a proud honour for me. The quality we've got in this group is just so good. So hopefully we can all bring that all into our club games and hopefully into the senior team in the future. Yeah.
Do you think there's more to come from these players?
100%. You can see that's against an Italy side there, and we've put it right up to them. So I don't see why not. It's just gutting right now. But I think over the next few days and weeks, we'll look back on it and be really proud of ourselves.
That's Andy Moran. Nations League action continued last night. Northern Ireland moved top of their group, and Isaac Price hat-trick helped them to a 5-0 win over Bulgaria at Windsor Park, while Scotland held Portugal to a scoreless draw at Hampden Park. And it's been widely reported that the former Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel has agreed to become the next England manager. Former Cavan footballer Dermot McCabe has been appointed as manager of Westmeath. The Gaelic clubman won an All-Star in 1997 and represented Ulster in the Interprovincials and Ireland in the International Rules. Donegal's Mark McHugh will work alongside him as the main coach. A Westmeath GA statement said McCabe and McHugh bring a wealth of experience, leadership and ambition, making for an exciting chapter in Westmeath football. As expected, last Saturday's Newmarket Cesarewitch winner Alphonse Legrand has been disqualified from the race following a meeting of the British Horse Racing Authority's Whip Review Committee. They found that jockey Jamie Powell used the whip 10 times, that's 4 more than is allowed, and they suspended him for 28 days. Connacht head coach Pete Wilkins will have close to a full panel to select from for Saturday night's URC game in Galway against Leinster. They came through their fixture against Ulster without picking up any fresh knocks, while back row Seamus Hurley-Langton is in contention to return from a shoulder injury. And finally, Gabby Lewis has been appointed as the new captain of the Ireland women's cricket team. She takes over from Laura Delaney and will lead them on their upcoming tours of Bangladesh and India.
Pádraic, thank you. It's 7:42. Piers Doherty, good morning again.
Good morning.
Take three. Tell us what's the difference, or you were telling us rather, the difference between the public reference that your party leader gave to Senator Niall O'Donnell, but obscuring the reason why he was leaving both the Shannon and indeed his party, which we didn't know at the time, and the references given by your party's press officers for Michael McMonagall, which also obscured why he'd left the party, and which Mary Lou McDonnell said was unforgivable and a sackable offence.